Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the show that shares insights into how you can build your business once, with hosts Jerry Lowry and Jennifer Navarrete. Thank you for joining us today. My name is Jennifer Navarrete, and with me is Sherry Lowry, who is sharing her 20-plus years of knowledge on what it takes to build your business once. Now, on today's show, we're kind of having that tough discussion, and it's a tough discussion, but it's one that is an extremely important part of business building, and we're calling this client graduation, how to gracefully conclude a business relationship. You know, Sherry, sometimes I hear folks refer to this, and I'm guilty of this. I have referred to it as firing a client, but it just sounds so rough and so rough and tumble, and I really like your model of client graduation. Can you go into a little bit, or actually a whole lot of detail, on how to identify when it's that time?
Yes. I'm happy to do that. And we have had a little bit of a precursor in terms of the heads up for what you're listening for. Earlier in the show, we talked about listing for the big five, but we kind of positioned them then as for a little bit of a different focus. And by this time, you're already working with a client. You thought it was a really good match. You set the scene as well as you could to remove any, you know, rough spots or obstacles ahead of time. You educated the client kind of how to be in the business with you, to go about what they wanted to do and accomplish. You were pretty sure that you had kind of taken pulse on where they were with that, why they thought this was the best time for that, why they thought this was the, you know, the best topic area for them, and it didn't working out. I mean, what and symptomology, so to speak, or characteristics of when it's not working out. Number one is check your own energy, because we're primarily responsible for being the guide and the know-how person to facilitate our client through whatever it is they've come to us to get done. And they don't actually know how to do this, or they would already have come, you know, done it themselves, or they thought they knew and they didn't, or something distracted or something disappointed. But what you're noticing is that they're either skipping meetings with you, or they're showing up late, or they're showing up not prepared, and I'm assuming that you give them something to do to be ready to show up with you, you know, next meeting. And it's just not happening, or it's not happening in the quality that you think you need and they need to really be doing a good job. So let me make sure I'm on track with where we're heading for you too, Jennifer. Is this beginning to explain why we're beginning to think it's graduation time for probably both us, me and the client?
You know, you're absolutely right. I hadn't really thought about the energy. I think it becomes frustrating when you've, you know, done the mind map and you've laid out the plan and you're going along with the plan, and all of a sudden you have a client who stalls, and you have many discussions on, you know, how to get around that stall or that procrastination or that pain point. And for whatever reason, they won't move forward. And so then the plan becomes in jeopardy. And so for me, that becomes a frustration point. Granted, it's their plan that I've helped them put together, but my goal is to get them through it so that they can have success on the other line, so they can get their key performance indicator of what this project, to note the success of this project. So you're right. I think it was maybe 2 years ago, where I was just not excited about going and having these sessions with this client anymore, because it wound up being just a lot of repetition without any forward movement. And once again, for me, I like forward movement, and for the most part, so do most of my clients. But this particular client just kind of festered and didn't really move forward. They seemed to enjoy our time together. They were happy to pay me, but I wasn't happy to do nothing and to be part of that. It just seemed to have a negative energy for me. So yeah, it was time for me to graduate them and to move on. And I was very happy to do it. But, you know, there's that tough point, Sherry, you know, there's that tough discussion where you got to say, I don't think I'm the person to get you to that next level. And I can refer and recommend, you know, who can. And it's kind of awkward. But once you have that conversation, for me, it was a huge relief.
Right, and that goes right back to the energy. So when you notice that the energy is blocked in the process and in the progress, but you're also not necessarily really looking forward to it, your energy has shifted in relationship to this whole, you know, thing, that is definitely the cue. What I have learned over the years, and I've been doing this now, you know, over two decades, it's never intentional. You've already realized the client's not just lazy, you know, they're just, and it's not the same kind of procrastination that you would normally think of procrastination, because they continue to say they want to work with you, they want to do this together, and that they still want to be on point with what they're trying to target, but like you said, there's not progress toward it. So I began to realize that delays, distractions, avoidances were not the usual type of procrastination. There was something else under there. And I finally realized, and I tested this actually, I did a pilot program with 12 colleagues and friends and former clients that I collected and didn't charge for, to just check out this theory. I began to think that there was a certain kind of what we call procrastination, but it was really disguised brilliance. This person is not going forward because something is missing that is key to them in their ability to do the task, or to reach, if they did reach the goal, they wouldn't know what to do with it then. You know, there was something wrong. And so one of the precursors to this, and where listening for the Big Five came from, actually this listening for the Big Eight, was it preceded it. And I'm going to tell you about that today. So either something is off with their agenda, and it is either not really theirs to do, but something somebody else keeps telling them they should do, or the industry keeps telling them then they should do. Maybe if they keep being told they ought to have a blog or a podcast, but they're not really a person to be, you know, kind of naturally talented to do that. Maybe they're not really quick on their feet for unexpected things. They like everything scripted. Well, you know, like you and I've discovered with this, that's just not going to happen on a regular basis if you have two people interacting, either, you know, online or on the phone with a live audience. Yeah, you can't just pre-predict all the stuff that's going to come up. So there either may be something wrong with the agenda, or maybe the timing is off for them, and it's just the thing they're not quite ready to do yet for whatever reason. Some of the reasons that they're not ready might be called spaciousness. They don't really, truly, they have the time to talk to you, but they, and to plan, but and to look ahead, but they don't actually have time to execute. Where, you know, once it comes to fruition, the website's up, so to speak, you know, the podcast is all laid out and designed, their outline is created, but there's something missing with the spaciousness possibly in their life. They don't have enough white space. They're fully booked. They're not prepared for emergencies. I mean, there's something going on there. Sometime you have found, and I have too, that they don't have the depth of focus that they need to have. They may have a fairly significant case of shiny object syndrome, you know, where other things get their attention. They don't ever get fully prepared. They show up anyway because they don't want to just cancel or you know, be a no-show, but they're not bringing with them what they need to bring with them that we need to work with. Sometimes it's mindset or attitude. At one point, and I discovered this by accident, I actually had a client at one point who just didn't think it was her job to be, you know, extremely prepared for things, that she ought to just be able to stand up and ad-lib at any point in time, and that was not working sufficiently for the kind of preparation she needed to do for what we were trying to accomplish. Now, it might be fine for a stand-up comment, comic, you know, with a stage and an audience whose audience is very forgiving. But people had expectations of her that she needed to meet when she showed up. And I knew that. And my job was to help her prepare content and to be prepared to deliver that and to work with her personal presence and that kind of thing. But she didn't have the she wouldn't take in responsibility for the right kind of bringing herself to it, you know, with the work ethic that it was going to be required for that. So that was a mindset or attitude issue. Occasionally, skill sets or capabilities are missing. And you will probably be the first to realize that. And one of the reasons they're dancing around and coming unprepared, maybe they don't know how to actually prepare. So the most graceful thing we can do for them is once they and we have fully identified honestly what the issues are, and there are a couple of others it could be, possibly they don't have the practices in place day to day to help them make the time and work this in, or the habit, you know, the habit of the 21-day thing. And you say you've already tried that and it has failed and you can't get them to really focus on anything for 21 days, which is very necessary if they're going to begin to master, you know, anything. And we've already referenced the energy issue, and that'll continue to come up throughout there. But those are eight different things: agenda, timing, spaciousness, focus, mindset and attitude, and then it goes to skills and capabilities, and then the seventh is habits, practices, and patterns, or the eighth in this case could be energy. And once you begin to get a real hunch that one to two of those things would obviously what's missing, almost always the response you will get from the person is gratitude and appreciation. They have known something is wrong too, but they have not known what. And so if you can hone it down to what you think it almost has to be in the case of one or two of these elements, and give them a kind of a graceful exit opportunity. It could be a leave of absence with you. It could be a direct referral to a source that can help them with either managing their calendar, possibly it's medical, and they really do need to get a checkup of some kind. It might be that some kind of a natural, you know, alternative medicine would be perfect for them. I had someone who had some anxiety that was underwriting that did not know how to best manage that. And, you know, I referred her to begin to start a meditation practice with someone else. Sometimes they simply need somebody to organize them at their end, and that's not you or me, you know. And so at that point, we can have that conversation with them, but with some specifics that we can help point them toward. And then we go to that conversation prepared to make a couple of informed referrals. If the whole situation is kind of a mess and none of that works, then you may default into this might be a lifelong pattern. And that's one of the first things I try to kind of take pulse for and find out about before I actually formally engage. And so there's some precursor conversations. If once we start running into anything like this with more than one client or more than two clients, this is not common. It does happen regularly, but it's not common in the business when you are taking steps to make sure that people are prepared to work with you. You educate them about how to make best use of you and your services. And if you still run into this, you may be running into a therapy issue.
Wow. You know, I really like that you have to check your own gut, but then once that is, you need to kind of help identify what that is. And I think it's really great that you're looking at helping them get what they need in order to move things forward. Because if we're just focused in on our project, which in my case I was, I'm not a business coach, so I don't have the training nor the insight into kind of say, hey, you might want to try this therapy or meditation. And that's not my scope of work. But You're right. I mean, sometimes, and I was banging my head against the wall trying to figure out why are we still in this one spot, you know, for like a month when it was a simple little thing to, you know, do this one piece in order to move on to the next level. And I just couldn't understand it. So I just thought, you know what, this is not a good fit for me. Obviously, whatever it is that they need for me, from need to get over that one little spot, I'm, no matter how many different types of ways that I tried to explain it and use different tools and different things and, you know, all the things that I knew that work with other projects and other clients, it just wasn't happening. And so I just bowed out. But let's, can you talk a little bit about that conversation? Because let's say there's other people out there who are not business coaches and don't have that training. Someone like myself who's just in business and doing projects. If you'll go into detail on how to have that conversation in a way that, you know, makes everyone feel like everyone accepts it and they're positive about it and there's no negative feelings towards, you know, deciding to not move forward together.
Okay. Well, first of all, you don't want to have that conversation until you have completely removed judgment and point of view of opinion-based assumption from your own mind, because it will show up in the conversation, and then you'll be showing up kind of blaming, you know, or at least not taking 100% responsibility for the fact that it is not working. If it's not working for you, you can almost assuredly know it's not working for them either. So the very first thing I have to do is have listened well enough and long enough to be positive that this person has, that it's not mine to do with them, just kind of like you reference, and acknowledge that I'm 100% responsible for this. I really wish that I had been on to this a little bit sooner, but we've been working long enough now. And so depending on the nature of the relationship, how long it's been going on, you know, what the cost and everything has been for this for them, I want to take some responsibility for it not working. I don't want to just kind of get them out the door and on to something else quickly. I want to spend a little bit of time for this. So the first thing I do is let them know what I think is the issue between these eight elements here. And I may even share this with them in advance and ask them if we can talk about that to see if we can agree at that one or two of these may be the culprit for them rather than them personally. And almost always they're interested in that, and almost always without exception, this is not the first rodeo for them. They have not just begun to experience this with us. It will almost always show up to have been a pattern for them of the reason, the main reason, that they have not been able to get other things done, either or finished, completed, started maybe, but not completed. And so with me taking 100% responsibility and us using a session that I usually, by the way, don't charge for, to kind of come to the agreement about what the next good step for them may be, almost always they're relieved and they're grateful. I've rarely had anybody want to continue in the same way once we've had this conversation. So, you know, it's a relief to both of us. And I can go into more detail. We're going to do a recap next time of session 15, you know, through today. For Thanksgiving Day, to give everybody else kind of a little chance to catch up too. And then if you would like, on exact specific steps of having a super courageous conversation, I can do that in our session after Thanksgiving. But for right now, the main thing is organizing a truth-telling opportunity for them. If you're going to offer any kind of refund for your end of the delay in getting to this point, do know already ahead of time what that's going to be. In my case, I've only needed to do that one time, and it was a partial refund because we had gotten some things accomplished and we had identified, you know, what the main culprit was, and I was able to make a good referral, and I was happy to write a partial return check. I never have had repercussions from that. I've had referrals since then from that person. And in my case, the referral for her worked. And it was timing. In her case, it was both timing and spaciousness. And it also did turn out, she went for a medical exam. It did turn out to be an ADD situation, too. And she did get on some medication for that. And she also got some therapy on, it was kind of a combination, organizing, you know, herself and getting a system put together, more so than therapy. But she went to an ADHD, ADD specialist to get the system figured out. So that's how it worked out for me.
Mm-hmm.
But courageous conversations are something we have to have all the time. And sometime the client and I and you and your client get into the middle of something and realize there's a need for a pivot and that we can continue with them, but we have to continue kind of on a different track.
You know, I think it makes complete sense because if we go, if you've been listening to the show for any amount of time, you know that at the very beginning, Sherry kind of laid the framework for getting involved with someone and how to do this as a collaboration and not where it's one-sided or that you're in partnership in this. And you really are. So the exit should also be in that same kind of partnership and sending that information in advance, prepping them that we're going to have this conversation really kind of lends itself to being something that you can conclude that relationship in a positive and beneficial way for the both of you. So that really ties into everything. Go into the project together, leave out of the project together.
That's right. And in that one instance where I made the referral for the person to get a system, I actually had a particular therapist in mind. And so we had no breach of confidentiality, and so we still had an open bridge. I actually asked both of them privately if I could introduce them together by phone. And then that person was willing to give them a no-charge session to come in, and they happened to be a local, and that person gave them a no-charge session so they could come in and see if that was the right kind of a therapy match, because it wasn't about emotional, you know, past as much as it was this person actually needed help with structuring, and they needed it across a great many elements in their life. It just happened to show up in the project we were trying to work on together, and that gave the therapist an opportunity to call me back if need be. It gave the client both me in the wing, so to speak, you know, I had their backside kind of covered. They did not need to come back to me. They did not need to call me back, but that gave all the professionals involved, including the client, some kind of a graceful exit, a transition place, a handoff, so to speak. And there was no shame. There was no blame.
And that's exactly the way that we should part ways. I mean, that's the best case scenario in any situation. So, Sherry, I know that tomorrow we're doing our recap episode. And folks, you're probably thinking, well, this topic went on a little long. There's a reason why. This is the meat. This is the meat. This is the nuts and bolts. This is the core of really how to run your business. And so we purposefully extended it and went a little long because it needed to have this space to grow and to breathe and to come to fruition. So we're also noticing that this week or this series or this topic right here has been one of a more popular series that are getting a lot more listens and a lot more interaction. So obviously it's something that folks are mindful and aware that they need more training and more education, more knowledge on. So it's been fantastic. But tomorrow, as Sherry said, we will be having our recap show for this segment. And then on Friday, we're going to be launching. Sherry, are we diving into week 4 on Friday?
I think yeah, it's already going to be week 4. We've been doing this since first. And I'm looking forward to that.
Oh, my goodness. It's been quite a ride. So, hey, everybody, thanks so much for joining us. Stay tuned tomorrow for the recap show. And, of course, if you're in the U.S., happy Thanksgiving. Set a reminder for 9:30 a.m. Central every day in the month of November to listen to daily episodes of the Build Your Business Once show.